This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Today's the deadline lawmakers set for the Internal Revenue Service to hand over 6 years of President Trump's tax records to the House Ways and Means Committee. Meanwhile, the House Oversight Committee wants years of his financial records. Yesterday, the president and his private business filed suit to try to block that. Legal analyst Andrew Napolitano says the lawmakers need to show a reason why they want these records.
They can't just get them because he's the president and because his predecessors have exposed this type of material about themselves. They have to have a legitimate purpose. If they can't show that purpose, then they're going to lose. Then the subpoena will be quashed.
He was speaking on Fox News. As the death toll from the Sunday attacks in Sri Lanka reaches at least 320, ISIS is now claiming responsibility, although authorities are still blaming a local jihadist group there, which they say may have been inspired by ISIS. And this is USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year. A month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot, too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs, too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
At least publicly, President Trump is not concerned about possible impeachment proceedings against him. During yesterday's National Easter Egg Roll, he took a question about it from a network reporter.
The reporter shouting, "Are you worried about impeachment, Mr. President?" "Not even a little bit," President Trump answers. Earlier, the president addressing the huge crowd.
"Maybe most importantly, I want to wish everybody a very happy Easter. Our country is doing fantastically well. Probably the best it's ever done economically. We're setting records on stock markets. We're setting records with jobs."
That was USA Radio's Robin Walensky. Arguments being held today at the U.S. Supreme Court on a case dealing with a proposed citizenship question on the 2020 census. The Trump administration wants it, saying it gives information allowing federal voting rights laws to be enforced. Critics say it will discourage participation by illegal immigrants. And fewer people participating in the census could mean less federal funding and possibly a loss of seats in the U.S. House. And this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
A Kansas zookeeper who was mauled by a tiger over the weekend is now out of intensive care. She was attacked on Saturday by a 7-year-old tiger in an outdoor habitat at the Topeka Zoo, and the victim has not been identified, but officials say she has worked at the zoo since 2002, and zoo officials have decided they will not euthanize the tiger. Chelsea Manning's to remain in jail now after a federal appeals court rejects her bail request. The decision upholds a lower court's decision to hold the former Army intelligence analyst in civil contempt for refusing to testify before a grand jury. Manning has been held since March for refusing to cooperate with the government's investigation into WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. Federal prosecutors accuse Assange of helping Manning get into a government computer as part of a 2010 leak of U.S. military inflammatory reports about the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. And Prince's unfinished memoir will be coming out this fall. Random House has announced that the memoir called The Beautiful Ones will be released as a newly envisioned book. On October 29th, Prince reportedly started writing the memoir not long before he was found dead at his home in Minnesota in 2016. The book, which is apparently about Prince's rise to fame, will reportedly feature some rare photographs as well as handwritten lyrics. Find us online anytime at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Someone once said, live free or die. Right? Bill Martinez live.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Back with us, we've got Rabbi Jeffrey Katz, who is an attorney, an author, a speaker, a lifelong student and teacher of rationalist religious philosophy. Jeffrey, welcome back. Good to have you with us on the show. How are you?
Bill, great, and it's great to be back here with you.
Hey, before we talk about college admissions and the whole varsity blues situation, I wanted to get your read. I mean, as we are getting, boy, I'll tell you, going headlong into this 2020 warm-up for especially the Democratic Party selection, boy, a lot of language put out there. You know, I'm hearing, you know, on one side them promoting unity, but you know, their language is not quite, you know, in line with a condition of unity, because they'll talk unity in one moment and the next moment they're extremely critical of the president. And I'm okay with people questioning the president, but the way they're attacking him, it maligns the 63 million voters that supported him and his current, people that are supporting him as well. Is there some disconnect that I'm missing here, or am I being overly sensitive about it? What's your read?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question, Bill, because, you know, if people talk about inclusiveness, you know, we have to include everybody, and that means everybody. It's odd how the president of the United States would be the one person who's excluded from, you know, that inclusiveness, and, you know, perhaps also all or many of his supporters. So it does seem disingenuous, and, you know, one would only hope that when people speak about unity, they can really speak and have their mouths and hearts, moving in the same direction, because, you know, when people talk about, you know, sanctuary cities, it's very nice if they're going to, you know, allow any type of alien, whether legal or illegal, lawful or unlawful, to have sanctuary within a city. But then when people are offered the opportunity to actually house them and have them come directly into those cities, and then you hear the wildest protest coming from those very same people, you know, one is wondering also, I mean, why is, you know, why are these people saying one thing one day and seeming to say something that's really the opposite, starkly the opposite of that the other day? So, you know, we can really hope that the message of unity maybe matches up a little bit better, you know, with the action. So I don't think it's oversensitivity on your part. I think you're just looking at, you know, facts as they stand, be it for good or not.
Well, I think most Americans, most reasonable Americans want unity. I mean, there's no question, Jeffrey. I'm not blind to the fact that there are some people that, make a lot of money off the disunity of our country, the dysfunction of the country right now. They're very happy with it. They're being well rewarded, and this is why there are those forces that exist that are promoting it. But the voters have to wise up, at least those that say they support unity, to understand that, there are some shadowy elements that are pulling the levers and influencing debate, shutting off debate, invalidating people, as you and I have discussed before. Because you and I believe, are, consistent and, we want the same thing, and not only unity, but we want a country that operates, consistent with the Constitution, a government of, for, by, we, the people, where their freedom of speech is accepted, it's embraced. And right now it seems that the spirit of invalidation has been taking a foothold here quite strongly over the most recent decades. And we're at a point now where, something has got to give here.
Yeah, now that's a great point. And the forces, you mentioned forces working against unity. And they're not only these mysterious, nefarious forces. And we can identify exactly who the forces are. The one of the forces is really big business, and it's some of the mainstream media who work really in tandem with people in the deep state, Bill. And there is just a business because, the narrative, over the past couple of years of all this kind of Russia collusion, this was really it was nothing other than a business run by people in the deep state who were leaking things. And a lot of the leaking materials were really unfounded and untrue, but these were leaked to people, in the media who are, building up a whole narrative off something which, number one, should have been confidential, even if it were true, and secondly, was really just meant to generate money, to generate viewership and money, and God only knows how the spoils of that were split. And I think that's one reason people may be so terrified now that, in the Justice Department at the top levels now, they may be looking into what that was all about and what the whole, what the real story was in terms of, the dossier and the Russia collusion and all these kind of trumped up, if you will, trumped up charges. Right. And who was making money off it and what, because, the viewership, after the Mueller report came out, the viewership of some of these cable channels just plummeted because regular Americans realized that they were just being fed a load of, not verifiable or not true stuff. So, there's a lot behind there. So we'll see what happens. It's sad. It's sad that you have these forces working to polarize instead of unite. It really is not great.
Well, and that's what concerns me more than anything. And going back to that spirit of unity that we talked about at the opening here, Jeffrey, is that, when we're tribalized and we are sent to our respective corners, there's no way we can solve problems. And, and this is part of the issue that I have right now with especially these Democratic aspirants running for the White House. They talk about solving the problems, and I'm going, wait a minute, you're in position right now. You are elected officials for the most part, and you're operating in government. What are you doing? What ideas are you putting forth right now? And what makes you think just because you become president? I think Donald Trump is finding out the hard way. Yeah, there's certain things you can do as president of the United States, but you can't wave a wand. You can't do everything because you've got, you've got appellate courts, activist judges, you've got Congress, there's other remedies to, keep us from entering into a situation where we have a king, we have some monarch running our country.
Right. Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you recall, last time we were discussing the things that Maimonides, who I write about in my book, The Secret Life, A Book of Wisdom, and how this ties into principles that I talk about in the book. For example, the idea that we have to take action now, and there should be bilateral action, just like you say. You know, the House of Representatives is controlled by one party, the Senate, the presidency by the other party. But there, the average American that you're talking about, Bill, would love to see, I'm sure, bipartisan action on infrastructure, you know, especially you take one poor red state, one poor blue state, definitely a huge bipartisan jobs retraining program at a point where we are generating as a society hundreds of thousands of new jobs a month. So we could really take advantage of that, and we don't have to wait for the polarization to end. We have to act.
Exactly. More from Rabbi Jeffrey Katz on the other side of the break, and author of the book. It is a powerful book, The Secret Life.
The United States of Empire is a book that claims the United States is the empire of the world. George Washington had warned us against foreign wars. The United States of Empire shows that World Wars I and II left England broken. Its former colony, the U.S., had to save the empire. Was there ever a vote? Who do we fight for? The deep state began with World War I. The United States of Empire by James Dunn. Available at Amazon Books.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Fellow Patriots, my name is Todd Savage, founder of BlackRifleRealEstate.com. Like you, I was a prisoner of the alt-left sanctuary state until one day I chose to lead my family to freedom. Today we live on a sustainable 20-acre homestead where we shoot, hunt, garden, and homeschool our children without the tyranny of the nanny state looking over us. If you're ready to flee the city to the freedom of Idaho or Montana, our Black Rifle Real Estate team is here to help. Go to BlackRifleRealEstate.com. That's BlackRifleRealEstate.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that, too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Bill Martinez, live.
Back with you, my 18 minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us. Jeffrey Katz, a lifelong student and teacher of rationalist religious philosophy, rabbi, practicing attorney, appeared on many national TV programs on a broad range of issues and has lectured widely. Before we talk about the Varsity Blues situation, in his new book, The Secret Life, A Book of Wisdom, he writes that Maimonides taught that we will succeed in life only when we are true to ourselves. While we should continually strive to become the noblest version of ourselves, we must never pretend to be someone else or pretend to be a different person from who we are or different from the person of who we are sincerely striving to become. You know, Jeffrey, we get into a situation where if we're trying to be something that we're not, it really is unsustainable because it just, you know, the natural forces, the natural design in which God has wired us, if we're not true to that design, there is going to be inner conflict. And it's just, I don't know how it's possible for us to really be anything other than our authentic selves, to where we can really realize some sense of true freedom and fulfillment.
You know, that's such a beautiful way of saying it, Bill, and you're absolutely right. And just think, what way to better connect with God is there than to get in tune with who we really are, to who each of us really is, and try to work to make that element of us, what we have, the best we can be, and strive to be the best we can be and the noblest versions of ourselves we can be. But the opposite of that, and the way we will almost guarantee of not getting fulfillment and meaningfulness out of life, is by pretending to be something we're definitely not, such as these people applying to college as stellar athletes in a particular field, when not only were they not stellar athletes, but they may not have even ever played the sport. So, you know, it really is so horrifying when you really think about the victims involved here who, you know, have real names and faces. I mean, just in terms of the, you know, people who were on the preferred priority part of waiting list to these top schools who never wound up getting in, they're the people whose spots were taken away because they know who's in the highest spot of those waiting lists. And how about the kids, you know, the high schoolers who got up 4 o'clock every morning to practice and hone their skills in their sport, and their moms and dads who paid, you know, all kinds of fees to specialists to help train and trainers and so forth, getting up in the middle of the night for 4 years and just have the spots taken by people faking it. I mean, it really just, it's so outrageous.
And, of course, the ramifications go well beyond that, because you're talking about, as you and I have discussed before, Jeffrey, is that there is interconnectivity. You know, God did not create us to be islands. You know, there are relationships that are in the waiting. And what other students lost impact of these students who should have been there next to them in the classroom, helping them at any varying steps of their experience of college life, because they're not there, that input that was so needed is missing. I think it's the ramifications are profound and probably beyond our comprehension. And, of course, others want to talk about, well, what about these kids who got in unfairly? In some cases, they claim they didn't know. Might be the case in a minor sort of way. But regardless, you know, what happens to these kids now? Some are going to be immediately removed from, you know, from the campuses, from these colleges and universities, as they should be. And what impact to their lives is this going to have?
Yeah, that's a great question to think about. I mean, if one reflects on it, I mean, you know, part of the college application process, of course, is writing the essay and writing all of the, you know, responses to all the questions. Now, any applicant, any high school kid who's, you know, high school senior who's applying to college, typically he would at least know enough to be involved in his own application. Now, if someone is applying as a, you know, world-class tennis champion or at least a collegiate class tennis champion, right, presumably that's going to be reflected all over his application. So, you know, the truth is, for these kids who say they know. I guess it means they never even looked at their application. They just, like, you know, had a blindfold on. For the ones who have just followed and looked, maybe for some of them it was the case, and for some maybe they were completely innocent. They just said, okay, Mom and Dad, you take care of my application for me. I'm leaving it totally in your hands. But even that is a little bit of recklessness in itself, you know, if one thinks of it, isn't it? Because that really is the only way one can fathom that these kids really did not know what was going on. Because how would it look if you had a, you know, it's either the case that they abdicated any responsibility over their own application, or their applications probably would not have been good enough to get them in, because I don't think you can apply as a collegiate class, you know, national class tennis player and not reference tennis anywhere in your application or your essay. So, you know,
exactly. And that's an excellent point, that would clearly be missing. And then you really have to question the process itself. I mean, the people who are reading these and you know, giving it a pass, I mean, did they just take the coach's word for it,
right,
and just gave it a broad overview? And, of course, you know, history is replete with all kinds of stories, you know, of coaches, you know, just convincing faculty members or administrators that, yeah, this is okay and we need this person on the team in order to win.
Well, that's what would implicate the schools themselves. You just hit it right on the head, because that kind of disregard of the process and just, oh, give me your coach, and they're just in regardless of anything else. So that, yeah, that really sets up that situation. It really is, you know, it's almost the way God created the world, like you were mentioning before, Bill. It's the interactiveness, the interactions and potential interactions, those that wind up materializing and those that don't wind up materializing. And, you know, to take that and to take the essence of each of us, which God has granted to us, and to, you know, to shun it in that kind of way is really, it's the ultimate lack of appreciation to God, who, you know, gave us many gifts, and we should, you know, really try to utilize what we have to the extent of our God-given abilities, but, you know, never really go so far afield that we're, you know, involved in, you know, this type of stuff that we're talking about.
Well, there's such a big lesson here, and lest we overlook that, I think we miss out on the opportunity to learn from this and even do some self-examining. We may not be the ones involved in the varsity blues, you know, trickster, you know, scandal, but where in our lives do we need to pause and say, okay, where is there a breakdown in integrity in our lives? You know, going back to your earlier point, and that is not being true to ourselves, not being genuine, not being authentic. Where are there areas in our own lives, maybe not a college admission, in, you know, scandal, but what other things maybe in our own lives, you know, because it's easy to look at this and be shocked and go, oh, those rich people. Well, you know, inauthenticity and a lack of genuineness and integrity, you know, that crosses all barriers. And I think, you know, the lesson here for us is to look at it and say, before we point fingers out, maybe we should pause and say, hey, do I need to do some self-examination here? Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense. And you know, Bill, a way that one might piggyback on the process, maybe leapfrog a little bit, might be, instead of focusing on, you know, where has my integrity been a little bit lacking, maybe just leapfrog to the point of, what do I really believe in that I can start devoting some significant amount of energy, time, attention, devotion to? Something really worthwhile, something that I know deep within me is worthwhile. And what can I really start doing to help the world, help your neighbors, do something really meaningful? And if one gets a little bit absorbed and self-absorbed in that, absorbing oneself in that, that almost will automatically take care of, because one will be so involved in pursuing something really meaningful, it will then elevate the person, and it will really raise the tone of each of our lives.
Excellent point. His book, The Secret Life, A Book of Wisdom, Rabbi Jeffrey Katz has been our guest. Jeffrey, always an honor and pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much for being with us.
Bankers and elites have scoffed at the prospect of cyber or cryptocurrency for decades. In spite of this, cryptocurrencies continue to grow and become a viable alternative to traditional banking and money. Now, surprise, those same elites are realizing they got it wrong and, like the housing bust, are starting to invest big time. And guess what? You got it. Cryptocurrency. As they say, follow the money. Many other independent and forward-thinking investors have seen and are realizing the cryptocurrency investment advantage. And here at BillMartinezLife.com, we're making it easy for you to educate yourself and find out how cryptocurrency can become a part of your future and how a small investment could turn into big returns for you and your family. Go to BillMartinezLife.com, click on the Crypto Profit banner ad, and get all the information you need to take advantage of this money paradigm shift. Remember when you could buy Amazon, Facebook, and Google for dollars? That was another paradigm shift. So don't miss out. Go to BillMartinezLive.com, click on the Crypto Profit banner.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Today's the deadline lawmakers set for the Internal Revenue Service to hand over 6 years of President Trump's tax records to the House Ways and Means Committee. Meanwhile, the House Oversight Committee wants years of his financial records. Yesterday, the president and his private business filed suit to try to block that. Legal analyst Andrew Napolitano says the lawmakers need to show a reason why they want these records.
They can't just get them because he's the president and because his predecessors have exposed this type of material about themselves. They have to have a legitimate purpose. If they can't show that purpose, then they're going to lose. Then the subpoena will be quashed.
He was speaking on Fox News. As the death toll from the Sunday attacks in Sri Lanka reaches at least 320, ISIS is now claiming responsibility, although authorities are still blaming a local jihadist group there, which they say may have been inspired by ISIS. And this is USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available on Amazon.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need.
Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Alexa, play Maren Morris.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be
okay. Get unlimited access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
From Maine to Oregon and SoCal to Florida, Bill Martinez live.
God is on the move.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. It's always great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is all right there. Well, according to the American Academy of Ophthalmology, approximately 24.5 million Americans have cataracts, a leading cause of vision impairment in the United States, of which I happen to be one of the candidates. And I'm actually, and Dr. Donenfeld, our guest who's going to be coming on in just a moment, is not aware of this, but I'm actually going in for a cataract surgery tomorrow morning. Over 4 million cataract surgeries are performed each year, by the way, making it the most common surgery performed in the U.S., while cataract surgery remains the most effective way to help restore vision for those with cataracts. A treatment of surgically induced inflammation remains an important component of patient care. So ask me if I want to be taking notes here, okay? Dr. Aaron Donenfeld joins us now, internationally recognized expert and pioneer in refractive cornea and cataract surgery, and one of the leading refractive and cataract surgeons in the U.S. Dr. Donenfeld, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, Bill, it's great to be here. I love your show, and hey, good luck tomorrow.
Well,
I think you're going to find it an amazing procedure.
Well, one of the doctors that you have trained is going to be doing the surgery for me out here in California, Dr. Carlos Martinez, and he was very familiar with you, and you know, he says, well, take notes while you're talking to him. I said, definitely.
So, you're in good hands.
Yeah, well, thank you very much. So Let me ask you, what can you tell us about the future landscape of post-operative treatment of inflammation in the eye?
Well, Bill, you really laid it out perfectly. 4 million procedures done every year in the United States, and the majority of these patients are elderly. They're 60, 70, 80, even 90-year-olds, and they just have a problem taking their eye drops. It's just very difficult for patients in their elderly years sometimes to have the manual dexterity to take their medications. Sometimes they just forget to take the medicines, and that leads to postoperative problems. Mm-hmm. Inflammation is one of the biggest problems we have after cataract surgery, and it's most commonly due to patients just not taking their corticosteroid eye drops.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, what I was impressed with, they gave me a schedule. You know, and here's, you know, a checklist, and, you know, you check it out three times a day. You're doing the eye drops, and, you know, so They're doing everything they can on their end to make sure that, you know, I'm doing the post-operative care that's necessary.
Well, it's important, and having a schedule like that really does help. But sometimes it's just a problem. Patients just can't get the eye drops into their eyes.
Yes.
And that's what makes it exciting about having a brand new medication, which is the first and only FDA-approved medication, corticosteroid, that's actually placed inside the eye by the surgeon at the time of surgery, that eliminates the need for taking one of those drops at the conclusion of surgery, so the patient gets the medication automatically 24 hours around the clock as it's placed inside the eye, mm-hmm. eliminating the burden and problem for taking these medications.
So is it kind of a time-release type of medication? Or?
That's exactly right. It's, mm-hmm. it's placed in the eye, and it dissolves over about 3 weeks. And during that time period, the medication is constantly bathing the inside of the eye where the cataract surgery takes place to reduce inflammation and eliminate the need for taking post-operative corticosteroids.
Well, as you say, this is not only convenient, but it really takes takes the memory, because this is probably my biggest challenge. I mean, I can still kind of hit the eyeball. Even when I use drops previously, I don't miss too often, so I'm still coordinated from that standpoint. But it's more, you know, remembering that I've in fact, you know, did in fact utilize the drops.
Well, that's actually one of the biggest problems, and there have been some studies that have shown that, you know, upwards of 50% of patients don't take their medications the right way, and it's not that they're not trying to take it, it's just difficult to remember or difficult to deliver. And sometimes a family member actually has to stay with a patient to make sure the patient gets their medicine. Now you don't have to worry about the corticosteroid eye drop because it's given automatically.
Mm. Now, Eric, is this type of eye drop, you know, surgically, I mean, is this readily available now being done by all ophthalmologists across the country, or is this a limited use thing?
Well, that's a great question. It was approved last year, but it's just being launched now. So actually, as you speak, for the first time, doctors are going to have access to it. So most doctors are going to start using it over the next couple of months, mm-hmm. but there should be widespread use of it, certainly by the end of the spring or early summer. But it is available today, and it'll be available more commonly in the very near future. And I think it's really great that your listeners can become part of the process and understand the importance of this medication. If they think it's something that they'd like to have, they can actually ask their surgeons if this is available to them.
Mm-hmm. And what specifically do we ask for?
Well, the medication is called DEXYCU, DEXYCU, and full prescribing information, you can learn about it by going to DEXYCU.com.
Okay, excellent. Well, as we mentioned, cataract prevalence in the U.S. is expected, by the way, to double by the year 2050. What is happening? Why is it just because we've got so many people that are going to be aging during that period of time? Or is there something else environmentally that's affecting, cataract prevalence?
Well, there's a couple of different issues. One is the population is getting older. There's just more patients. Baby boomers are getting older. That's number one. Number two is that we're doing cataract surgery earlier now because the results are so good that patients want to have cataract surgery because it can often improve their vision in a very significant way. Mm-hmm. So in the old days, we used to wait until cataracts were really terrible before we did surgery because the operation wasn't as good. But today, due to advances in technology, patients are having cataract surgery done at an earlier and earlier level because they want to have the quality quality of vision that they get from cataract surgery.
Right. Well, what I appreciated about Dr. Martinez when I went in, probably about 2 years ago, in fact, I interviewed him on the show, just like I'm talking to you, and I said, well, maybe I better go in and get my eyes checked, and because I'd noticed a little bit of haloing taking place. And, you know, he told me at the time, he goes, well, you're not quite ready yet. He says, but definitely you're developing something. So here I am almost 2 years later, you know, again, the halos were getting more pronounced and looked like I was looking through more and more cotton. And I thought, well, I better check it out while I'm here in California. Well, sure enough, he says, yep, you're about ripe. So we're going to do the surgery tomorrow. What other things should I be looking for in terms of the options of lenses that are available?
Well, there are a variety of different lenses that are available now, and this is one of the most important improvements in technology, is that there's conventional lenses that give you good vision far away. There's lenses that can correct astigmatism, which means that your eye is kind of oval-shaped like a football, and that can give you better faraway vision. And there's even lenses that can give you distance and reading called multifocal or extended depth of focus lenses that can reduce or even eliminate the need for glasses at all distances at the end of cataract surgery, which many patients find very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Now, pretty good success with the multifocal?
Yes, they do extremely well, but again, like anything else, it relies upon the patient being a good candidate. The surgeon has to do a good preoperative evaluation to make certain the patient is a good candidate, and the surgery has to be done very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
But with new technology, new diagnostic tools, we're able to really get good results in the great majority of patients. But one of the problems at the conclusion of these surgeries with these new advanced IOLs is that even a little bit of inflammation can cause problems that reduce the vision at the end of surgery, which is why using this new medication, DEXYCU, is so exciting, because if a patient's getting these great new lenses, they want to make certain the surgery is done as well as possible and that they can get their medications reliably, which is what DEXYCU does. It's placed in the eye to make certain the patient gets the quality of vision with these brand new lenses.
Well, our conversation with Dr. Eric Donenfeld continues, internationally recognized expert and pioneer in refractive cornea and cataract surgery, one of the leading refractive and cataract surgeons in the U.S. Eric, you know, in terms of the post-operative eye drop regimen, typically requires multiple therapies, right?
That's exactly right. Many doctors use three different medicines. One is an antibiotic to prevent infections. One is a non-steroidal or a liquid aspirin that reduces pain and inflammation. And then the most important drop, from my perspective, is the corticosteroid, which removes inflammation or reduces inflammation and promotes healing.
Well, as we wrap things up, Dr. Donenfeld, can remind everybody where they can go for more information.
Well, if you're interested in learning more about DEXYCU, go to DEXYCU, DEXYCU.com. for full prescribing information.
Dr. Eric Donenfeld, I'm Bill Martinez Live. Eric, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
Now playing Breakthrough, starring Chrissy Metz.
Boys, get off the ice!
He's been underwater for 15 minutes.
The odds were against her son.
He's had no pulse for over an hour.
Until his mother's prayer.
Please send her the spirit to save my son.
Proved the impossible.
We've got a pulse!
Now.
I don't believe John will survive tonight.
Discover the incredible true story.
You don't know my son.
Of an extraordinary miracle.
He is a fighter.
Breakthrough. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. For tickets, go to BreakthroughMovie.com.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with The Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers. A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
At Robert Half, we know finding the right employees is a job in itself, and it's a job we love. You see, Robert Half isn't just a staffing firm. We're people. People who believe in finding the right people to fit your company's needs. Because employees who are a good fit are more productive, more engaged. Finding a great candidate isn't easy. But at Robert Half, we know it's possible. Robert Half, the experts in accounting, finance, IT, legal, marketing, and administrative staffing. Learn more at roberthalf.com/radio.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Getting America back on track. Yeah. Bill Martinez live.
America, Bill Martinez here, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. We have with us Olympian and half marathon record holder Ryan Hall, and we're going to be talking about his new book, Run the Mile You're In. Ryan, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, good to have you here to talk about your book, Run the Mile You're In, Finding God in Every Step. Tell our audience, what was life-changing for you that you say was instrumental in you reaching the success that you've been able to achieve, both as an Olympic athlete and as an American record holder in the half marathon?
Yeah, you know, that is a question that I had in my own mind when I was 13 years old, growing up in Big Bear Lake in Southern California, and having kind of received, like, and I talk about this in the first chapter of the book, but this original kind of call when I was 13 years old of believing that God was telling me one day I'd run with the best guys in the world, but he'd give me that gift to help with other people. But I was just perplexed with this question. I remember doing hill sprints in the snow, one snowy evening by myself up in the mountains, and thinking, like, what is it going to take for me to get to the Olympics? And it's really fun now, having gone on that 20-year journey, and be able to look back, reflect on that, and be able to pull out all the nuggets that I learned along the way and the life lessons, and be able to share that with other people in hopes that, you know, it can help them on their journey. So it's really been a book that, you know, I wrote it in a couple months, but really it was 20 years of my life experiences that are coming through those pages.
Yeah, that's what they always say when they ask, how long did it take to write that book? You go, oh, 2 months and 20 years. My whole life, right? A lifetime reflects that, which is so cool. You know, I will tell you, Ryan, I grew up in Southern California, so very familiar with Big Bear. And, you know, that's 7,000 feet of elevation. that is tough training ground at that elevation to train under. And so I'm sure that was instrumental in establishing the foundation of success beyond, you know, having God's vision deposited in your heart to keep you running.
Sure. And, you know, like, that's the beautiful thing about running is it's not just the physical isolated by itself. It's not just the mental isolated by itself or the emotional or the spiritual. It's like all of it has to come together and be nurtured for a very long period of time for you to reach the levels that you can get to. And for me, like, there was that physical component of being up at altitude. Like, if you look at the best runners in the world, most of them come from Ethiopia, Kenya, where they are training at similar altitudes to Big Bear. So, you know, all those pieces kind of had to be in the line. And I can see kind of, you know, how God did that, orchestrated that throughout my career. But it's really, that's what I love about running. It's not so much a sport as it is a lifestyle. It's a complete package where you're drawing on every ounce of yourself to get the most out of yourself when you're running those marathons and half marathons.
Exactly. Well, you know, Ryan, as you say, a lifetime of experiences here that you relate in your book. And so first, you know, getting to that level, 2008, you're representing the United States at the Olympic Games. And you're thinking, wow, this is what God told me was going to happen. And here I am. What went through your heart and mind, you know, those 2008 games?
Yeah, that you're totally right. That was the moment where I was like, okay, like this is, you know, that original vision I had when I was 13 is now here and it's happening. And, you know, like my heart, and I have kind of a different view of competition, which I get into on the book. And I think it's important for everyone, but especially Christians, to look at, like, how would Jesus compete? What would be the heart he would compete out of? Because I don't think he would be about comparing himself to someone else, which really, when you look deeply in competition, is usually the case. Usually it's like, how do your performances stack up to someone else? But I really believe, like, we're called to draw out the best in each other. So that's always been kind of my view of competition. So going into the Olympics, I wasn't so much concerned about am I going to medal or not or win. I just wanted to have my very best stuff on that day when, you know, the whole world is watching and it's the most important day of my running career. I just wanted to be at my very physical peak. And unfortunately, my training just did not, for whatever reason, and there's a lot of mystery still involved with this, it just did not click very well. My body wasn't responding as well as I would have liked it to. But regardless, I remember doing a warm-up run the day before the Beijing Olympics in the Olympic Village and doing about a 30-minute shakeout jog and kind of talking to God. And I like to ask him this question the day before big events and marathons in particular. Like, God, like, give me a word for tomorrow's race. And then as I was asked him that question, I felt like he was reminding me of the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So I went back to my dorm room in the village and reread this story. And what I was really struck by was the heart that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had towards God and towards the king. And when they told him, even if our God does not deliver us from these fiery flames that they're facing that are going to kill them, you know, even if he doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow down and worship your God. And right. I just love that, like, unoffendableness. It's like, how often do I, like, pray to God, and then he doesn't answer my prayer the way I want him to, and then I get mad at him and turn my back on him, you know? Like, that, I find that's kind of like my natural reaction. And so this was really important for me to hear this before the race, because things did not play out how I'd hoped them to play out. It wasn't my dream being fulfilled. I didn't experience God strengthening me out there, you know? But I needed to have this attitude of, like, hey, God doesn't judge me based on my performances, so I'm not going to judge him based on his performances. And that was a really important lesson that I picked out of that 2008 Olympics. And I was able to, you know, rally and finish 10th in that race, even though I was really far back at the beginning. But that was the biggest lesson I kind of took away from that experience.
And, of course, that set you up for 2012, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so then 2012 was, you know, I was in a different spot going into that game. So I had been the best marathoner in the U.S. Kind of from 2007 up until 2012. And I had gone out, and I was training on a professional team in Mammoth Lakes, and I love my team, love my teammates, love Mammoth. But there was something that felt like lacking in my faith, and I felt like I wasn't really desperate for God to show up in any area of my life. And so I really wanted that. So I wanted to position myself in such a way where I'm like, I have to hear from God today. So what I did is I went out on quote-unquote faith-based coaching is kind of what I called it, because I was kind of pioneering this idea of asking God for wisdom on every single day about how to train, about my lifestyle choices, about everything, you know, just involving my faith in the Bible and the things I was reading, involve all of that in the design of my program to prepare me for these races. And it was a really amazing experience I wrote a lot about in the book. You know, with that said, I was also like doing, you know, national broadcast on television, and they were asking me about this very unique approach to training that I was on in faith-based coaching. And I remember one reporter saying, you know, if you win the Olympic gold medal, like, everyone's going to want to know about your coach. And I remember having this thought. I was like, yeah, like, I see your point, and yeah, that would be great and everything, but I feel like God's not really in that business, you know. He lets us come to him. He's not so much like I'm going to force myself on you, or just like, I don't know. He just can't be put in a box or controlled, I guess is maybe better what I'm trying to say. But right. With all that to say, like, I felt like a decent amount of pressure on myself to be like, listen, like this, like God is real and he really does get involved in our day to day lives, and he can like bring us to new levels. But again, like things just did not click as well as I would hope them to click in that training phase leading up to the Olympics. And I was forced to drop out of that race with a hamstring injury, which was the first race. And, you know, I'd been running for 15 plus years at that time and had never dropped out of a race in my entire life. So, but I remember in that moment, and I was running in the London Olympics and kind of having a conversation with God about what to do here, because I was having to limp to continue running. And I knew that was going to cause more damage. And I felt like God was telling me it's better to lose with me than to win without me. And that kind of freed me up, and it helped me remind myself that, hey, like, I have already won the greatest gold medal I could ever win just by knowing God and being in right standing with him.
Amen.
And so it's okay, you know? It's okay to fail. It's okay to stop and feel like your heart break, you know, because I know that I already got the best thing I could ever experience and ever have.
It's like you're re-embracing what you did in the 2008, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego worship of God, understanding that it's God's will and not our will to be done. You know, Ryan, we're out of time here, and I would look forward to having you back, because I want to talk about, even after 2008, you and your wife Sarah had co-founded the Steps Foundation in 2009, a nonprofit that works to eliminate extreme poverty across the globe by providing adequate nutrition, education, shelter, and career training. You know, this is awesome what you and your wife and what God has placed in your heart and what you're doing. And I want to have more time and be able to get into that deeper. So I'm going to have an open invitation for you. I want you to come back so we can talk more about that with our audience, okay?
I would love to. I'd love to continue the conversation. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you. Ryan Hall, author of the book, Run the Mile You're In, book available at all the usual places, and we will be linking it on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Ryan, God bless. Thank you so much for being with us.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hunters, anglers,